We're live on a Wednesday morning, and as promised here in studio, I'm joined by an eight-year NFL vet, a Dancing with the Stars champion. He started the Rashad Jennings Foundation. He was the 250th pick overall in 2009 out of Liberty, and he's the author of a new book. The book is called The If in Life. That book is out right now. Rashad Jennings is my guest. Rashad, it's great to have you here in studio, man. How are you? What's up?
Appreciate it being on the show.
It's good to have you on the show. Now, you are an author. Growing up, you were a guy that used to go to bookstores. So I've got to ask first, how does it feel to have your own book in bookstores right now?
I can't believe it. I really can't. Like, coming from this 0.6 GPA, overweight, chubby kid, glasses, asthma, you know, fifth-string running back with an incurable dream, to say now that I'm an author, I can't believe it. I really can't.
Let's go back to that for a minute. I mean, you were the 250th pick in the draft. You played 8 years in the NFL. This is amazing in and of itself. But you go back further, and you touched on this. You had a 0.6 GPA. You described yourself, quote, as a little overweight, dorky kid with glasses and asthma. I'm looking at you right now. You turned out all right. What were you like as a child?
Definitely was everything I just said. Facts. As a kid, I was the kid that was the lovable kid, but it was always in trouble. Found himself in trouble all the time. I was a kid that if you ask him, you know, how many sides are there on a stop sign, I would say 10, you know, front, back, then 8 sides. And so I'm right in my own way, but towards the school system, I'm always wrong. And so that's why I struggled academically. I failed every English class known to mankind, passed every Spanish, but I can't speak Spanish. I don't get it. And so that's another reason why I'm honored to actually write a book. It's an inspiration to kids, too.
All right. So if you were like that as a kid growing up, what were you like as a football player?
Definitely. As a ball player, you know, I was a guy that had to work extremely hard. Nothing was given to me. I was never the first picked in anything. Always had to dedicate myself. I've always had to put in more time than everyone else. But I'm humbled by it because then I authentically got to grow and give back and teach. And so as a ball player, I was versatile. I came in the league, as we were just talking about earlier, you know, by playing behind Maurice Jones-Drew, and I had to figure out how to get on the field. So I was a great catcher. I could protect the quarterback, and I was really good at blocking punts.
Rashad Jennings joining me. I'm laughing because I'm thinking about MJD, and I shared that story with you before we came on. I talked to him before that draft. So you were with him before the draft. You know his mindset. I said to him, where do you think you're going to go? And he said, first. I said, you mean first round, right? He goes, no, I mean first overall. And I said, respect, my man. Do you really believe that? He said, first overall. Everybody laughed, and then he went out and had the career he had. Like, what was he like before the draft when you guys were getting ready for the draft?
Yeah, he had that same kind of attitude.
Right.
You know, him and Fred Taylor were two of the guys that I really got a chance to learn from and Matt Forte before I even entered into the NFL. And I lived with Maurice in the offseason. And so his mentality, you know, I appreciate it. He is so meticulous and militant about studying the game. He's one of the smartest football players I've ever been around. And he definitely taught me how to study the game. So
we're talking to Rashad Jennings. He's joining us here in studio. He's got a brand new book out. I mean, the thing is, not only did you have some issues with your weight and your glasses and your asthma, but you had a 0.6 GPA. All right. So how did you get that thing turned around?
Yeah, big major turning point was fifth string running back. And we're playing against our high school rival. And when I say I'm fifth string, I mean to the point we only had 4 running backs. And they just said, we'll give you fifth just to shut you up.
Wow.
And we're playing against a high school rival. When we played against them, there was a Tennessee scout that came to watch the starting running back. And coming out, break the weight tape, I get on the sideline. You know where you put your thigh pads at?
Sure.
All right, I used to put M&M, candy, and Sprite right there because I didn't play. I would watch the game, me and my buddy Speedy. He didn't earn his name.
Dude,
we would
contraband.
Watch.
Contraband. Yeah. Soda and M&M's. Because you knew you weren't going to play.
Never going to play.
In case you got hungry during the game.
Yeah, we ate M&M's and I watched the show.
Dude, not protein between your pads, but M&M's and Sprite.
That's how you do it.
Okay, man.
Now, the first string got hurt, right? The second string gets hurt. The third string gets hurt. The fourth string gets hurt.
Come on, 4 guys got hurt.
They put in, the coach is scanning the sideline, catches eye contact with me, looks away, puts in a receiver at running back before he puts me in. I can't make this up. Goes in and gets hurt. They finally have no choice. They put me in. I'm trying to speed through the story.
Dude, who are you guys playing against? The 85 Bears?
Yeah,
how did 5 dudes get knocked out? Oh, so they come
vicious.
To you.
They were called the Brookville Bees at that. So they, I guess they were stinging everybody. But so my first play in, 40-yard touchdown. Very first play. Came back on the sideline. They put in the first string. He taped up his ankle. He got hurt again. They put me back in and scored another touchdown. Going to halftime, come out, similar situation on defense. Guys are getting hurt. They put me in on defense. I scored my first play on defense. Sack, fumble, score, and I end the game with a pick. So I scored four touchdowns, two on offense, two on defense, only played 14 plays. That Tennessee scout came up to me after the game and said, Rashad, I came to watch the starter, but I couldn't help but to notice you. How were your grades?
0.6.
Exactly. He said, now you got to try to get a 0.6. How in the world do you have a 0.6? From that day, he looked at me and said, Rashad, you got potential to play in the play in a collegiate level. And for the first time outside of my family, the people that's going to support me no matter what, somebody saw something in me. I transferred high schools. My brothers went and coached at a private school for free. They're 10 to 13 years older than me. I was the whoops, here we go again, baby. They went and coached at a private school for free to pay half the tuition. My parents took a mortgage against the home to pay the other half the tuition. I transferred. I never looked back. I stopped making excuses.
Rashad Jennings joining us. I mean, there's so much to unpack in that. Listen, I understand that guys or scouts or coaches will come to see a person and see a teammate. I've heard that story a million times. I've never heard the story quite like that story. I mean, if these guys don't get hurt, you don't get that opportunity that day. Are you and I having this conversation right now?
Absolutely not. I don't foresee that really happening. I'm thankful, you know, that I had an opportunity. But that's exactly what it is. It was an opportunity. And that's why one of the quotes to stick with me is when opportunity presents itself, it's too late to go prepare for it.
Rashad Jennings joining me. You know, it's not just you. There are things around you as well. As an example, you went to the University of Pittsburgh to play football, but then you transferred to Liberty to be closer to your dad, who was dealing with complications from diabetes. So what was that time like?
It was a difficult time because me and my father never really had the best of relationship. And transferring was something that I was going to do just because I love, you know, I have a love for my mom. My mama's boy wanted to be there for my dad, but that was a big turning point in my life, the relationship with my pops. When I was 13, I had asthma. I was hospitalized. I was blowing through a peak flow, only went a centimeter. My dad smoked and drank in the house all the time. The doctors told my father, you can't smoke around your son. I get out of the hospital. I go back home. My dad begins to smoke in the house. I smell it, seeming through the vents. I start choking up. Now, I don't know if people know what it's like to be choking, but it's a very uncomfortable thing. I covered my mouth with a pillow. I went upstairs, knocked on my dad's door, opened it. He's sitting in the corner drinking and smoking. I said, Dad, can you stop drinking and smoking to be there for me? Took a sip of his drink, puff of his smoke. He said, Rashad, what do you want to do when you get older? For the first time my dad ever asked me that. You know,
so you're 13 at that point.
13. Overweight, red rim, glasses, everything. And he's never asked me that. So I can see he's being arrogant, but a part of me is excited I get to tell him. I said, I don't want to play running back in the NFL. Took a sip of his drink, puff of his smoke. He said, you think you'd be able to make it to the NFL yourself without drinking or smoking? And with tears in my eyes, I looked at him. I said, just to prove you wrong, I'm never going to do it. And I'm 33 today. I've never drank alcohol a day in my life. I never smoked a day in my life. But it was just to prove him wrong.
To this day, you still never have?
No.
You've never had a sip of alcohol?
Uh-uh. Never. And it's awesome because him watching his kid prove him wrong, he quit smoking and drinking himself. And we both feel like we saved each other's life because of that. But if I never really looked at those moments, if I would have responded with hatred, you know, if I would have responded to racism the wrong way, if I wouldn't have had a loving mother, if I wouldn't have, you know, kept God in my life, if in life through this book that I talk about, majorly, I keep pulling that big word if out of the middle of life, and it's going to force every reader to find their own ifs.
Rashad Jennings joining us. What is that, the if in life? What is anybody's if in life? What do you mean by the if in life?
Yeah, the if in life. So it's when, again, it's the play on words, but I personally feel like we all have major turning points. We really do. And it's a matter if you're willing.
You gave me a couple right there, right? The day you got into a game when you were the fifth string, the day your father said, do you think you're going to be, or what do you want to do? I mean, those are a couple of major ifs right there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I continue through 15 chapters of giving intimate stories, things that nobody's ever known about me for 33 years of my perspective on life. And I keep going back to this little word, if, because that's the synopsis and the turning point in everybody's life. If I would have done A or B, which one? And I feel like this book kind of gives everyone the onus of taking control and getting off the sidelines and play in this game called life.
get in the arena. Rashad Jennings, my guest. You know, you tell the story about you're in high school football and you've got M&Ms in your pads. You've got soda in your pads. And I'm looking at you right now, man. You still look great. And when you look at your career in the NFL, you had this regimen for taking care of yourself. It was legendary. I mean, in a league where everybody takes care of themselves, you were like next level with it. What was your routine like? And then how did you approach food, rest, recovery, and everything else that went into your day?
Yeah, so I had to focus on that. Obviously, being this 275-pound kid, I never wanted to go back to that.
Dude, were you 270 at one point?
275.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, I was out there doing it, eating everything I could. But
it's, I was out there doing it. I'm still out there doing it, man.
But yeah, I've had to learn how to take care of my body, truly. And, you know, I've been through everything from getting my blood drawn once a year and eating based upon that. I eat gluten and dairy free, no celiac, just a choice.
Paleo or?
Just gluten and dairy free.
Okay.
Pure choice. I've noticed my energy level skyrocket because I'm fuel efficient. I've actually slept in a hyperbaric oxygen chamber through the course of my career.
Dude, I love that story. Let me jump right in. You had a choice, another choice you had to make, A or B. Could have bought yourself a new car at one point, but you decided to buy a hyperbaric chamber instead of a car because you chose to invest in yourself. Was that a tough decision? Why'd you go that route?
So in the NFL, and it's actually pretty funny, everybody used to make fun of me because I drove the same car from high school. They're like, Rashad, get yourself a car. I said, man, I'm going to ride this thing until the wheels fall off.
What kind of car?
It was an Impala, okay. Chevy Impala. And funny enough, I actually was going to pick up someone at the airport, and the wheels fell off the daggone car, man.
Well, dude, you said you drive that thing until the wheels fell off, and they did.
Mock my words. So I had to buy a car. But my first purchase in the NFL ever, I bought a hyperbaric oxygen chamber because I wanted to invest in myself. I don't know how the stock market worked, but I know how hard I could work. And I invested in my career. And it definitely has paid off figuratively and literally.
All this is in his book. I'm joined in studio for a few more moments by Rashad Jennings. You not only were on Dancing with the Stars, you won Dancing with the Stars. Man. Athletes always seem to do well because, one, it's an athletic endeavor, and two, they know how to grind. They know how to work. They're competitive. What was that experience like, and what was that win like?
Oh, man, I loved it.
Yeah.
I suggest if anybody ever gets an opportunity to do that show, do it. Like, trust me, do it. It was a humbling experience. And it's funny, every offseason I pick up a new craft. So the first offseason, while I'm down in Fort Lauderdale training, I'm playing the guitar, plucking, trying to learn how to play, right? Got good, never put it down. The next offseason, I want to learn magic tricks and card tricks. The next offseason, I want to learn fencing, archery, poetry. Every offseason, I pick up something. This last offseason was dancing. I said, I never ballroom dance. I want to go learn. I went to a studio. I signed up for classes. They said, we don't have any availability until 2 weeks from the day. Cool, no problem. Be back in 2 weeks. A week from that day, Dancing with the Stars happened.
Huh.
So I was like, all right, I guess I get to learn in front of the world instead of this studio.
So you've never done it before?
Never done it before, but I love attacking new things. I'm an autodidact. I truly am. It exudes me to learn something I've never done before. And I went all in. And I just went on thinking I was going to learn a quick cha-cha number, you know, to go about my business. But week after week after week, when people kept voting me on, I was like, man, I might mess around
and win this. Yeah, right? So, I mean, like, what was that challenge like mentally and physically? Was that pretty taxing?
Yes, it is. It was gruesome. I talked to T.O. right after he did his show, and I was like, which one was harder to you, training camp or doing Dancing with the Stars? Dancing with the Stars.
Come on. Why?
It's because, one, you've never moved your body that way. And everything's polar opposite of how you move on the football field. You dorsiflex in football. On the field, on the ballroom, you point your feet down. Like, it's just
counterintuitive,
the opposite.
Right?
But it helps you so much. I wish I could have had a chance to go right back into the league afterwards because I feel so much looser. But the 6 hours a day, we put in 362 hours, Emma and I. And the next contestant on the show ever was closest, was 100 less. So we put in a lot of work and didn't realize it.
We're talking to Rashad Jennings. So really quickly, what was the reaction like? I mean, you're used to being the guy. You're used to people looking at you because you played the game at a high level. Yeah. But this is a whole different audience now.
Vastly
right?
different.
So like when you're walking around, people obviously are seeing you and responding to you. What was that like compared to what you would normally get as a football player?
Yeah, you get recognition as a ball player, but you have on this bucket helmet
right.
all the time. And nobody really sees your face. Dancing with the Stars, you're stripped from that. They see your face. And even how you win Dancing with the Stars versus how you win in football are vastly different. Football, myself and 53 other men can go in any city, regardless if you like me or hate me, and take what we want, win, and go about our business. Winning Dancing with the Stars, the only reason you win is because people like you.
That's it.
There's nothing else. And so it's awesome to get a chance to do the tour. I did a Dance with the Stars tour, city to city to city, performing and dancing. At one point, I was laughing. I'm on stage dancing. I'm like, I'm doing a host moment. I'm like, I can't believe I'm traveling the world dancing.
Right.
But I wouldn't trade it for anything. It's really opened me up to a lot of things. Plus, I'm a hopeful romantic, and I got to, like, show that other side. I'm the guy in the locker room. It's cool because playing the American gladiator sport, the most physical man amongst men, right? And then you find me lighting candles, dancing around to Frank Sinatra with a broomstick in the living room. So
I'll tell you what, dude, not bad for, quote, a little overweight, dorky kid with glasses and asthma, an author, a professional baller. He won Dancing with the Stars. Rashad, if they want to get your book, it's called The If in Life. The If in Life. If you're watching on TV, you can see it right now. For those who don't know, what's the best way to get the book?
Best way to get the book, it is in all stores right now, today, anywhere the books are sold. Also, you can go to Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. It's actually an audio book, which I could suggest to pick up, because before every chapter in that audio book, I give a quick prelude of what you're about to listen to. So, and then the ifinlifebook.com, RashadGenis.com, everywhere it's available.
That's how you do it, man. You take the time, you write that book, you get out there, you push it, and that's how you handle your business. He also started the Rashad Jennings Foundation. My man, that's a good start to my Wednesday. It's great to see you. Congrats on that. Let's be sure we get together and do it again soon.
Absolutely. Appreciate
nice
it.
Job. Good to see you, man. Appreciate you. Rashad Jennings in studio. Lots to cover there. So if you want to react to it, go ahead. In the meantime, find the book. Get the book. He's got a great life story to tell.